things to make yourself comfortable. I have a question. It's one I would like you to answer. I think it's easy. I think this is an easy one. When you think of Jesus, what's the favorite image or metaphor that comes to your mind?
The figures.
Yeah, picture.
Jesus washing.
Jesus washing the feet. Jesus among the children.
Good
shepherd. I was waiting for that one. That one almost always comes up real fast.
Healing the sick.
Healing the sick. Lonnie, I think it's like...
Walking on water.
I like that one. I like them all. What?
Calming the storm.
Calming the storm. Do I see a hand back there?
Ray comes in riding on a cloud.
That's like Revelation. Some apocalyptic imagery there. I like it. Parting the sea. Old Testament. We're going to go on great. Love the Old Testament. There's no wrong answers. You don't have to share. Okay, we're good. I'll notice that none of you picked Jesus the thief in the middle of the night. That makes sense to me, actually. I just was reading today's gospel, and I was like, Jesus, thief in the middle of the night. That's a weird one. Okay, so Jesus the thief in the middle of the night. But here's a question you can either answer or not answer. How many of you have lived in a house that has been broken into while you lived there? Yeah, a number of hands. I'd say I've been pretty lucky overall, but I still remember when our house was broken into when I was little. Was maybe 8, 9. Couldn't have been much older than that. And it's really clear, it's one of those sort of like, I can play it back in my head, because it was a little traumatic. Because I was the first one to the door that day. There's 4 of us in my family, so small children was like a race from the car to the front door. It was like maybe 20 feet. But it was still a race, because small children. And I got to the door, and it was always locked, so I stopped, and then the door moved. And that's when we realized something was wrong. But I still remember that moment. It was really jarring and unsettling. So it's jarring and unsettling and upsetting when your house is broken into, isn't it? How many of you think of jarring and unsettling and upsetting when you think of Jesus? Yeah, challenging maybe. I think that's a kinder way of putting a lot of those things. But yeah, that's not really our go-to descriptors for Jesus, is it? We already went over those. None of that came up. But that is what Jesus lays out here. And then he ends with what I tend to think of as the Boy Scout, like this is Boy Scout Sunday. Be prepared. I can find the old scouts in the congregation in every moment when I say that, because they're like, oh yeah, no, I see where you're going. I'm prepared for that. Okay, I'm funny, it's fine. I know that I'm not always as funny as I think I am. You don't have to laugh. It just gratifies me when you do. And Jesus really doesn't let us off the hook with that. When he says, be prepared, it's really, in the Greek, it's really emphasized that you are supposed to get yourself ready. This is on us to be ready. And that feels like a lot of pressure. So I remember standing in front of that front door when it moved. None of us were ready for that. And the other thing you need to know is I grew up in a town that when I was that age wasn't that much bigger than Leduc is now. Our back door was always unlocked. There's a really funny story about the time my brother tried to sneak home from college as a surprise, and that was when my parents had finally started locking the back door. It didn't work out very well for him then. They'd also changed the door lock. But that was 10, 14 years later. You could always get into our house by going around the back and in the back door. In those days, even after that day, we weren't prepared for this sort of thing to happen. Very few of us are ever actually prepared for that sort of thing. Even when you have insurance and you can make a list of exactly what was stolen, and the police can come and they will actually find it, most of which actually happened in that case. We were very lucky in that way. We still weren't prepared. We were unable to get ourselves ready. It is hard at the end of the day. It is nearly impossible to be ready for the completely unexpected, isn't it? So what are we to do with Jesus in this story? It is worth remembering that although we have come back to the beginning of the church year, and in our heads are, I'd like to say, like, anticipation of the baby Jesus, but it's probably like Christmas dinner shopping lists and gift purchasing. We're in preparation mode, aren't we? And a little bit of baby Jesus is coming. But this gospel story is taken from close to the end of Luke's gospel. Jesus is getting us ready for something. It is not his birth. And it is worth remembering that in Luke's gospel, Jesus' birth and his death are connected by the fact that there are unexpected things about both of them. It is Luke who gives us the Magnificat, which we'll hear in the upcoming week, which is Mary's song of revolution and upset that her child will bring about. And we close Luke's gospel, as all of the gospels close, with the stories of the unexpected post-death appearances of Jesus. What we know to call the resurrection, but the people who were there just saw as the impossible. Get yourselves ready. Be prepared, Jesus says. But I think there are two ways to hear this. One is the less helpful and supportive, and I've seen it on bumper stickers that I always kind of want to buy but resist. Look busy, Jesus is coming. And just, that is what Jesus wants of us, to be infinitely busy. As if that will actually prepare us. And then there is what appears in one of the later epistles that says, always be prepared to give an accounting for the hope that is in you. It's a favorite saying of my preaching professor in seminary. Always be prepared to give an accounting for the hope that is in you. That hope that we aren't alone. That when we feel alone, like we were talking about with the kids, God is somehow there with us. That there is a reason for hope in the middle of the chaos and the struggle and the busyness of our lives. Always be prepared to tell people what that hope is, Scripture tells us. I think I like to hope, at least, that that is the kind of preparedness Jesus is talking about. There's no way I can be busy enough for Jesus to come back and find everything done. I can't do everything. God has to. Jesus has to come back for some of that to happen. But I can be prepared to tell people in the middle of it that we are not alone and that God is with us, because the God who made us loves us beyond death. What can you be prepared to tell people? What is the hope that is in you? that may not have a logical explanation or an accounting that can be figured out on a balance sheet, but is the hope that helps keep you going in the middle of those days that just seem unending. You know, like the days last week and probably some of the days this week. How will you tell might be a high expectation. How will you show the people around you what that hope is? I think that is the question Jesus is laying out for his disciples. I don't think he's setting them an impossible thing. I think he's preparing them for the fact that the life that is hard when he is with them is about to get more complicated and more confusing and more chaotic. I think Jesus is reminding them that there is, in fact, a hope inside those disciples, as there is, in fact, a hope inside all of you. That our job is to be ready to explain it. Amen.